Now, you kind of wonder, why in the world did he choose this kind of a subject? Wheat and the tares, the characteristic wheat and the tares. We all know the parable. Why bother wasting your time? Well, we're going to look at some detail, the characteristics of it. And we know this is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew. But I hope that the lesson that we're going to present about the wheat and the tares will be beneficial to you as it has been to me. Why? Well, our Lord used this parable. That's why. And we hope to examine this subject from a different perspective or a different angle. And we're going to look at it the way our Lord saw it when he was a young lad, probably in Egypt. And you have heard the parable of the sheep and the goats, I'm sure, and you know the characteristics of the sheep, you know the characteristics of goats. So, the question is, what are the characteristics of the wheat and the tare? Now, most of you have heard this parable of what it means, but we're going to present this lesson from an actual grower's point of view, just as our Lord seen it in his day. Now, wheat itself is a very valuable cereal grain. In Europe, you know, the wheat is a staple crop because you grind it into flour, you make bread, and naturally, when you sit down to eat in Europe, they give you a great big bowl of soup, and the rest, well, a stack about this high of bread. You know it, don't you? So that's their staple food, is derived from the wheat product, as well as potatoes as well. Now, wheat itself is an important cereal or grain. There's no doubt about it. But you know something about wheat? It contains the highest protein content of all cereal crops. The highest protein content. Wheat dates back in the Bible, and you'll find it in Genesis, the 30th chapter, verse 14. Now, in the account of Jacob sojourned with Laban in Mesopotamia, we find that Egypt, in ancient times, was noted for growing wheat. And we do have that history recorded in our encyclopedias. But the variety mentioned in Pharaoh's dream, in Genesis 41:22, it is described as a seven-eared quality. Do you know what I mean by seven-eared? It means that out of one stem will grow seven heads of wheat. Now, one of these heads, or one of these ears, will produce as high as 100-fold or 100 kernels in that one head. Now, that is a bumper crop when you do have that, 100 grains in one. In Matthew 13, verse 8, we believe is still true. Now, Babylonia was also noted for its wheat varieties. And we find this in Psalms 147, verse 14. Now, Syria and Palestine produced wheat of the finest milling qualities and in large quantities. That's history for you. Psalms 81, 16. They also grew the variety of wheat which was only good for spaghetti. Is there Italians here? Oh, yeah. Spaghetti, huh? Well, you know, there's special wheat that is only produced for spaghetti. The wheat that you have for bread, It does not make good dough for pizza. It does not make good spaghetti. And so wheat, when given the right soil, the right climate conditions, will produce 100-fold or 100 grains in that one head or one ear. Now, in olden days, wheat was broadcasted by hand. You'd have a special bag that you had in front of you, and you'd take your hand into your bag, and you'd go like this. And as you kept making every step, you'd be seeding the wheat product. And so, if you did it in large quantities, they allowed cattle to walk over the soft ground to tramp the wheat into the soil. And you find this in Isaiah 32, verse 20. And then as the man of the house, if he sold smaller quantities of let's say maybe he had a half an acre or an acre, and so a man of the house would have broadcast the wheat, the woman of the house or the children, they would pull branches from trees to cover some of the soil over the seed. And the reason they did that was because of birds or even the farm chickens had to be kept away from the fields as they would pick up the wheat before it's covered by the soil. These are all lessons. And so in Isaiah 28:25 seems to imply that the wheat seeds were planted apart in rows to ensure fuller ears. And what I mean is they would plant your rows of grain approximately 6 inches apart. And from these two rows, there would be a distance of almost 18 to 24 inches for you to be able to walk in between to pluck out the tares of the weeds. And that's how it was planted in olden days. And it's still done that way today. And I'll tell you the reason for it. They also did thrashing in those days. Isaiah 28, verses 27-28, we see how they did the thrashing of the wheat. And so we find that back today in planting, just as they did in Egypt, this is still done in Europe and it's done in the United States and Canada as well, in Australia and New Zealand and Argentina. We have what is called the foundation seed. You have the elite seed. You have the registered seed. And you have the certified seed. You have four different groups of seed classes. Now, the foundation is one of the highest seed that you can have. Next is your elite plot, is your next seed that you have. And then you're registered, and then you're certified. Now, we find that in these rows, as they planted these seeds, there was no tare was allowed in the elite plot. When they sowed the elite plot, and you'd walk in between these rows to pick out the tares. There's no tares allowed. In other words, if an inspector who would inspect these fields and you'd find a tare, and he wouldn't pass your field inspection. It would be rejected by the inspector. But when you come to the registered wheat seeds, one is allowed, when you're trashing it, you're allowed one tare per bushel. Per 60 pounds. And two are allowed per bushel in the certified seed. But no tare is allowed in the foundation seed. That must be a lesson for us, isn't it? There's a lesson. Now, in olden days, children will go out with their parents or their kin folks into the wheat field and they'll pluck out the tares at harvest time shortly before cutting of the wheat. They'd walk in between these 18-inch rows or 2-foot rows. And so tares were being gathered. Now, the rows were not long. It had to be probably the length of this hall. So they would walk halfway, and then they would walk back when they're picking the tares up, and they put them on bundles to be burnt. But not burnt yet. They had to be put in bundles to dry. And so we find that tares are easily detected. Well, how do we know that? They grow taller than the wheat. They stand up very straight. While the wheat, when it grows, the heads, they keel over, they tilt over, they bow over. Tares also have you can detect it, they have a beard or a whisker. And a tare seed is a different color than the wheat. Now, each tare seed is different in size. Different in shape and form. Tares are not uniform. They're not uniform like the wheat kernels are uniform. And so the question arises, where do the tares come from? And who created the tares? Is it a special seed created by the devil? Well, in reality, let's look at it in the grower's point of view. Tares do not grow from tare seeds. Tare seed does not have enough plant food to produce a healthy tare stalk. In Matthew 13, verse 25, it says that while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tare among the wheat. Now, the word sowed in this passage means to scatter. We must remember the truth is logical. It is reasonable. It has to be harmonious, and it must make sense. So we want to find out how tares come about in real plant life. We want to find that out. And this will help us to understand the parable of the wheat and the tares much better. Now, there is in reality, there is a special kind of a fungus disease that affects the wheat seed when it is in the early stage between 3 to 6 inches tall. A fungus affects this wheat seed. How does it happen? It only happens when you have an abnormal growing conditions. This happens when you have probably an overabundance of rainfall at an early stage when it's still growing small. And so this fungus disease sets in on the weaker wheat seed, is what happens. Therefore, the wheat plant begins to, what? Degenerate. Begins to degenerate. Well, you say, what do you mean it begins to degenerate? Degenerate. In agricultural terms, it means the plant begins to deteriorate gradually. It becomes, we would say, corrupt, degraded, distorted, having declined far below normal in some sense. As one would say, it is of a lower type in the agricultural term. The next question arises, does tare have any food value? Do you ever think about it? Does it have food value? The answer is obviously no. None whatsoever. If you were to take a handful of tare grain, just a handful, and you crush them up and eat them, what do you think would happen? It would cause convulsions. It would even cause death. Tares and wheat plants look similar in appearance up to the time of the forming of the ear or the forming of the head. Or as today's language would say, the wheat is heading out. You've often heard that term. Or it forms a head. And so our Lord used a good illustration by using the characteristics of the wheat and the tares. And so I believe that our Lord Jesus himself must have had the experience of going out into the wheat fields and maybe possibly plucking out the tares from among the wheat at harvest time when he was a young man. And so also we must have seen others doing the same task at that time. Matthew 13, 1. And then verses 3, 4, and 5 as well of Matthew 13. We can see how the wheat was spread along the wayside. It was, in other words, when they were, you would walk from village to village, there would be these pathways. And these pathways would be trodden with foot, and they were hard. And so the Lord probably seen where they would scatter the wheat, and it would fall on these hard pathways. And naturally, you know, the birds would come up and pick them up and so on. And others fell in stony places in verse 5. And we know that Palestine does have stony places. And so when one scattered wheat seed, some fell in stony places, areas, we see that birds came and picked them up, ate the seeds. Now, verse 8, it says some of it fell in good ground. Yes, there was good ground. But when the good ground, when you would spread the seed, you'd have to cover it immediately because of the birds and et cetera would pick it up. And so you'd have to have the right climate conditions when you put the seed in good climate, in the good soil, for it to produce up to 100-fold. Now, there's nothing wrong with only 30 in the head or 60, as the scriptures say. It still produces fruit, no matter how you look at it. Matthew 13, 25. Now, our Lord Jesus knew there would be a falling away from the true faith. He knew that. But while men slept, after the apostles and the special servants and of the true church fell asleep. And so we find that shortly after our Lord's first advent, what happened? We are told that the devil scattered tares. In other words, this fungus disease began to degenerate the wheat, began to distort it, to misapply it, corrupt. It became a imposter, is the lesson. Now, Apostle Paul warns us that this would happen. And he states this in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 1 to 7. And you can compare this with Revelation 12, 1. Then, but we find it in Matthew 13, 26. I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe it's kind of silly. But how many know how to tell the difference between a tame oats and a wild oats? They all look alike, don't they? But you know, there's a way of detecting it. If you're sharp, and if you know your agriculture, you'll learn in a big hurry. And the way you can detect it is when the oats is about 3 inches, 3 to 4 inches high. Now, the tame oats that you grow, it's a cereal crop, that's what they make rolled oats from. The tame oat grows into a clockwise rotation, grows clockwise, this way, as it winds around the stem. The wild oats grows counterclockwise. That's how you detect it too. So at the early stage, you want to know how much wild oats you have in the tame oats. This is what you do. You go in and you count the plants. You square out the square foot and you start counting. Now that's the techniques, that's the characteristics of a growing crop. Now, verse 37 and 38 of Matthew 13, sowing of a good seed, the time of the first, we know, inauguration of the church, the establishing of the 12 apostles, the forming of the true church, the planting of that seed. And so the devil was out after our Lord's life, we know that, in order to maintain his empire. And so we find in verse 39 that the devil scattered tares. Not just one kind, but we find many different kinds of tares, different colors and shapes and forms. Don't forget that. Dark blue, purple, black, you find them different sizes and shapes and forms. And so this is a lesson where tares are made up of many denominations. Not just one bundle. Not just the establishment of the papal system back in the early 300s and 500s, but many bundles, and others also who claim to be Christians, make up the other bundles as well as they pluck the tares. Now, something that's important, and that is the characteristics of wheat, it gives life. It gives life. Does tare produce life? No. Tare produces death. If you eat it in large quantities, if you try to eat it. Now, wheat has the highest form of protein content. We mentioned it earlier. What does that mean? The highest form of content. The true church will be engaged in a restoration program to restore life to the world of mankind. Can tares give any life? No. Death only. No life. So this fungus disease that began to degenerate the wheat, what is the lesson? By distorting the truth in early stage, misapplying the truth, corrupting the truth, being an imposter of the truth. How? First of all Christians say you don't die. All good go to heaven and all the bad go, I don't know where, extreme heat, I guess. But all that is necessary is to believe. Many of them say, all is necessary to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Or, why? The Virgin Mary was the mother of God. So you can see distortion that took place in the early stages. The true heat got distorted. And what a distortion from the real truth it is. Changing the lessons on the ransom. You've heard that. Why Adam will not be resurrected. The door to the high calling is closed. So there's a lot of distortion that's taking place. Some will say, well, the kingdom started in 1914, and now we're separating the sheep from the goats. You've heard that. It's a further distortion and misapplying and corrupting the truth. In other words, they say, why, we are the only true ones. We're the only ones that are able to heal the sick. We're growing in number. And so I had mentioned this once before, that in Brother Russell's day, there were 1,100 major religions in the world. Today, you've got over 4,000. So you can see the distortion that took place, this fungus disease that began to grow in reality. Now, in verse 40, we know that tares will be consumed at the end of the final phase of the time of trouble. Probably Jacob's troubles we would have reference to. Now, those are the bundles that our Lord knew about. And verse 30, he says, gather the wheat into my barn, gather the wheat into my safekeeping. Really, it is the glorified condition, life immortal, as we find that in Luke the 10th chapter, verses 2 and 3. And Revelation 18:4, where it says, come out of her, my people. I want to explain something to you in growing a foundation stock. How was it done in olden days? How is it done today? And I believe the same method that is used today was used in the olden days. When you harvest it, you'd have to cut the elite plot with a sickle. And it had to be threshed by hand, not to have any contamination with any machinery that you would use or anything else of that nature because of the fungus that may be present. It all had to be done very clean and by hand. So you'd trash this and you'd wait for rain, for a windy day, and so you'd separate the chaff from the wheat. Now you take this wheat and you laid it out on a table. You take, let's say, maybe half a pound of wheat. You spread it on a table and you'd have a long stick about yay long at a sharp point. And it was painstaking. You had a lot of patience to do it. And you'd examine every kernel. You examined every kernel to see that it was, didn't have no blight on it, no kind of distortion. It had to be perfect. And that's the seed that you would use to plant a foundation stock. And that's how you separate these seeds. Some people, it would take a month or two to do it during the winter months to get this prepared for next year's foundation stock again to grow an elite plot. And that's how it was done. And it's still being done today the same way. So you imagine the lesson that how you and I are being picked to make sure we don't have any blight, any fungus, any disease. That kernel has to be perfect. And you and I too, we too have to be holy and perfect, as our Apostle Peter says, be ye holy just like my Heavenly Father is holy. And you can see the high standard that is used in this case. There's a high standard used in a planting of wheat to grow a foundation stock and an elite plot. And I don't know why there's four. Maybe it has some meaning I do not know. It could be the church class, the great company, and the ancient prophets at all, and the world of mankind being certified. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But next question is, we know that in the Bible it says darnel. It's referred to as darnel. What is darnel? Well, in actual case, it is mentioned in the Bible as a darnel seed, but darnel is an annual grass. It's different, which looks like a rye plant and has no resemblance to a wheat plant. It is a poisonous seed, yes, and it is found in all grains. But darnel plant is a plant that has gone wild from a wild rye plant, just as wild oats became wild from a tame oats plant. But you know what's interesting? Is that these wild plants, the animals will not eat it. Why? It's sour. It doesn't have a good taste. It's poisonous to begin with. Animals will not eat wild oat seed. Neither will chickens, because of its bitter taste. And so what is the lesson? Don't we all want to be of the true wheat? Right? Remember, the wheat has the highest protein content. The highest milling qualities is found in wheat. So what does this mean? The true wheat the true church only, will be able to give life to the world in the restoration age. Not tares, because they're poisonous. They don't have any proper food content. Now, giving life to a child who died at a young age is one of the privileges that the true wheat will have. They'll have the privilege of healing the sick, the lame, and the deaf, opening the eyes of the blind. And our Lord Jesus used a very, very simple, down-to-earth illustration in describing what would happen after the apostles fell asleep. He was very wise to use a unique picture of the wheat and the tares. How nice it was. And so in closing, I hope that this lesson will help you and me to understand this parable just a little bit better. And so, brethren, we want to be one of those true wheat seeds that are being gathered into the barn for safekeeping. And we know that the wheat is what gives life, food, sustaining to mankind. It's a staple food. It's been for thousands of years. And so, brethren, you and I want to be constantly on guard to watch out for what? For that fungus disease which distorts, corrupts the good seed. And so you and I, brethren, we want to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of our most holy faith each day of our consecrated life. And so may the good Lord bless you richly. And if it be His will, that you too would be part of the true wheat seed to bring blessings to the world of mankind and to fulfill the promise which was made to Father Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. May God add His blessings.